Well, greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth again, and I thank you for listening in today. Today we're going to continue in our study of the letter H, the Holy Ghost, and studying about the third person of the Godhead. And we are going to talk about gifts and healing today. And the first thing I want to do today is, if I hadn't been doing so much yapping on that last one, I would have remembered to give you the scriptures for the last one, and you're probably giggling at me by now. But that's okay, because this is not going to be the first time that you're going to get to laugh about that, probably. So I'll go ahead and give you the scriptures if you got your pen and paper, and I'll give those to you, and these are for the last lesson, lesson number 6 that we went through last week, preparing to study this thing in the world today about gifts and healings and what the Bible has to say about it, our preparation that we did last week concerning that spiritual gifts were not for personal use. They were for the education of the church and for the benefit of the edification and the education of the church, and that the Jews require a sign. You remember that? And the Jews do require a sign. They did require a sign during that time. So here are the scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 8. 4 through 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 and 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12. Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 21 and 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8 through 10. Psalm chapter 19, verse 7. James chapter 1, verse 25. And the last one is 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. Okay, we're all caught up now, and we're ready to begin today's lesson, and what we're going to talk about is what about speaking in tongues and divine healers? Divine healers. Now, there's a lot of divine healers out there. I've got some documentaries here that on a couple of guys that it's called A Question of Miracles is what it is. And it's about Benny Hinn and one other guy, a German that's over in Africa that does this sort of thing, and about having to do with speaking in tongues and mostly divine healing having to do with that. And whether or not this stuff is real, and whether God, the Holy Ghost, what we want to know is, what does the Bible say about it? Does it authorize this thing? Has the Lord made it possible for a man to be able to heal somebody? Does he use men to heal people today? And also, we want to know whether this thing of speaking in tongues is valid in the Scriptures, and if it's valid for today in our dispensation. And whether or not when we talk about speaking in tongues, what are we talking about? What is tongues? What is tongues? What do we mean when we say tongues? I can say the word, but what does it mean? What's it mean when you say tongues? Are you talking about a tongue that hangs out of your mouth? Or are you talking about when you talk about speaking in tongues? What does that mean? Okay, well, we're going to find out what the Bible says, and then we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on the things that are going on in the world today, but just to recap just a little bit before we go into it, some of the spiritual gifts listed in the Word of God were temporary. You remember we talked about that. Now, what was our saying that we decided that we was going to, that we needed to remember yesterday? You remember what it was? Say it with me. The Jews require a sign. The Jews require a sign. Now, we went over that, and we found out that during a certain period of time, from the time that the Lord Jesus Christ was here on the earth, and from the time of his ascension up to about A.D. 70, when Israel was dispersed among the nations, this was the time that the signs, the miracle signs, were being used. And they were real, they were authentic, they were authored by the Lord, and they were performed and executed by men. And this was something that actually happened, and it is scriptural, and we did look at the scriptures. Those are the scriptures that I just got through giving you. All right? But is that still going on today? Is it still happening today? Is it still authorized by the Lord? And is it still? And if it is, what's it used for? Is it used in America? Is it used by American Christians? Is it, what is it? Okay? So what we're going to do is we're going to begin studying, and we're just going to bring out some facts about what the scriptures, a lot of scriptures that we're going to have here. And if you'll remind me at the end of this, I'll be sure to give them to you. But if you don't, then I'll probably give them to you next one then. But either way, you'll get them. And we're just going to go over the scriptures, and we're going to talk about things, and you make your own mind up according to what the Bible says and according to what God the Holy Ghost that dwells in you tells you what the truth is. Now, this what about speaking in tongues and divine healers? Now, we're studying this under the topic of God the Holy Ghost. God the Holy Ghost. Now, remember, as we go through this, you remember to yourself that the Jews require a sign, and that God said that he was not going to give his glory to nobody, that he was not going to glorify any flesh ever. The Lord in the scriptures says that he is never going to glorify any flesh, and he's never going to authorize it, that flesh would glory before him, ever, ever, ever. Okay, flesh is wicked. I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. That flesh is going back to the dirt, and God has cursed it, and it's going back to the dirt. And the Lord's going to give us a new body. So when it comes to flesh and fleshly things, the Lord says that he's not going to give his glory to anybody. Okay? If the glory belongs to the Lord, it's his alone. And then the Jews require a sign. And we're just going to look, and I want you to think as we go down through here and we read these scriptures, and you let the Holy Ghost and the Word of God teach you what is the truth about whether or not, and teach you whether or not the Holy Ghost would authorize some of these things that are going on today. It don't take a rocket scientist, and it don't take no 25 years of a Christian education to understand the scriptures concerning any kind of facts that, or any kind of things that are false or anything like that, what's going on. All you have to do is believe the book. Just believe the book. So, here we go. Now, the charismatic movement is a modern phenomenon, which had its beginning in the United States just before the turn of the century. Now, it's pretty big today, and it's in all different kinds of versions, and they do all kinds of different things and characterize a whole bunch of different kinds of things concerning charismatic and charisma. It's become one of the most active movements in Christendom. And one of the main reasons that makes it such a big, big deal and it's perceived to be real spiritual is because of the so-called spiritual deadness that's in most of the mainline denominational churches, like the theatrical church business that goes on. I just come in, sit down, this happens, this happens, this happens, this happens, get up, pray, and dismiss. Okay, and the spiritual deadness that's perceived, and it in the eyes of people that see this charismatic movement, it makes it look like there's something happening in that's not happening in other places in Christendom. So it kind of don't be fooled about this though, because the scriptures teach us very plainly that the enemy is busy in and working in this area of Christendom. Now, you know that the enemy is not out there trying to see who to tell on somebody who's drinking, and that's not his priorities, and cussing and fornication and all these things that go on, and he is the cause of some of that and the instigator of a lot of that. But the flesh has a lot to do with that. But what he is interested in and doing is something like what we're talking about right now in these big movements that carry millions of people away from the gospel. Okay? And it looks real close to what the scripture says. But that's why the Lord give us his word, so we can examine it, we can compare scripture with scripture, and we can find out what the truth is. Now in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 13 through 15, here's what the scripture says. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, we know what the scripture teaches about works and grace. And we know that the Lord said that nobody is going to get into heaven during this dispensation on works. So the Bible's just told us that these kind of people, these false apostles and deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, not the Holy Ghost transforming them, but they transform themselves, okay, that they are the ministers of they are the ministers also that are transformed as the ministers of righteousness, but they're not ministers of righteousness. They are the ones that are their end is going to be according to their works. And what is that? That's the white throne judgment when God judges the unsaved, judges the ungodly, by their works. We're not going to be judged by our works. Christians aren't going to be judged by their works. We're going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ of what we did for the Lord in the body. We're not going to be judged for any sin at all. There's no condemnation, therefore, to them that are in Christ. We're not going to be judged for sin at all. And our works have absolutely nothing to do with it. We were born again by the righteousness and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that doesn't even apply to Christians, you see. But this crowd right here in 2 Corinthians in chapter 11, verse 13 through 15, is the ones that's going to be judged by their works. So they're lost people. They're lost people. But they're lost people that are pretending to be apostles, pretending to be workers, but they're deceitful workers, the Bible says. And they transform themselves into the apostles of Christ. And the Bible says, don't be surprised about this, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into the angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if the ministers, his ministers, also be transformed into the ministers of righteousness. They look like it, but they're not the real thing. Because they're going to be judged by their works. Their ends are going to be according to their works. These are not saved people. These are ungodly, God-rejecting, Jesus Christ-rejecting, lost people. And according to the Bible, there are people out there. And now, whether it's this charismatic movement, and whether it's this charismatic thing that's going on, the speaking in tongues and the divine healing, whether it has anything to do with it, we're going to get on into that and find out. But the Bible does tell us in 2 Corinthians that there is a bunch of people out there that are not saved that are doing these things and trying to act like they're doing it for righteousness and they're doing it as apostles of Christ. So we can know right now, as far as we've went so far, that the Bible teaches that there's fakes out there. And they're faking in the name of the Lord. But they're lost and they're going to hell. And that they are doing the devil's work in the name of the Lord. And they're going to be judged according to their works, which represents that they're going to hell. Okay? All right? So, this charismatic movement now. All right, we're talking about speaking in tongues. We're talking about divine healers. And the main thing we're talking about is whether or not the Holy Ghost is authoring this thing that's going on today. And does the Holy Ghost, is he involved in this? Remember, our main study is the Holy Ghost. Okay, because in this charismatic movement, that is the representative. He is the main person of the Godhead that is represented, is the Spirit in this charismatic movement. It's not God the Father, and it's not Jesus Christ that's the main deity in charismatics and in the charisma environment. It is the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit, is what they say. Okay, so don't be fooled about that, because the Bible does teach us that there are fakes out there. 2 Corinthians 11:13-15, what we just read. Now, we're commanded to make judgments concerning whether something is right and wrong. You're commanded. Judge righteous judgment. And we judge righteous judgment according to what the Scriptures say. Not according to how we feel. Not according to feelings. According to what the Scriptures say. I mean, I get up out of bed a majority of the time not feeling saved. Are you born again? Do you always feel like you're born again? Of course not. Of course not. Not if you're a human being. I don't always feel saved, but that don't change what the Bible says. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the Bible says that no condemnation is going to be used against me, that I'm sealed until the day of redemption. Okay, and the Bible doesn't change according to how I feel. But we change. Okay, and some people try to change the truths according to how it feels. And feeling is a big issue when it comes to speaking in tongues and divine healing and charismatic. Okay, we're commanded to make judgments concerning whether something is right or wrong, whether it is or is not, not according to how it feels, but what saith the Lord. The Bible says in Isaiah 8:20, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. All right, another scripture, John 5:39. The Bible says, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. That was Jesus talking to them Pharisees, and they said, we have Abraham, we have Moses. And Jesus said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life. And Jesus said, and they are they that testify of me. Another scripture, Acts 17:11. The Bible says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. How? In that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. That's a brother bragging on this church for any time a preacher come in or any time a teacher come in and they said something about thus saith the Lord or God said, they got in the book and they searched it out to make sure that thing was right. And that's exactly what you're supposed to be doing and what we're doing this very second. Another scripture, Matthew 22:29, the Bible says, Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. Jesus said, you make errors and you do wrong by not knowing what the Scripture says. You see, so we're not to judge things according to our feelings. That's number one. Now, God the Holy Ghost, he does affect our feelings, but he does not decipher doctrine and he does not teach us doctrine by feelings. God the Holy Ghost does not teach us the Word of God by feelings. He teaches us the Word of God by the power of God and by what the Scriptures say. That's the way he teaches us. Okay, so to think that that something is so because of the way it feels is not always true, and majority of the time not true when it comes to things of the Scriptures, okay? All right, that's the first thing that we've established. What about speaking in tongues and divine healing? All right, and does the Holy Ghost, we're talking about the Holy Ghost, okay, is the Holy Ghost involved in these things? All right, the next thing we're going to talk about, the Bible defines tongues, okay? The Bible does use, it is a Bible word, and it is used in the Scriptures, tongues. But the Bible has a definition for tongues, okay? And tongues, in some of this, or in the majority of your charismatic movement, means something that is not understandable and something that is given specially to a certain person at a certain time and a certain privilege, and nobody else can understand what's going on except for the person that has been given the gift of tongues. Okay, is that true? Is that what the Bible teaches? Well, the Bible defines tongues as a known, understandable language. The Bible says that tongues is a known, already being spoken, understandable. Whoever speaks that language speaks can understand that tongue language. So tongues in the Bible means languages. If you speak English, you speak the tongue of English. If you speak French, you speak the tongue of French. If you speak Swahili, you speak the tongue of Swahili. In the Bible, the word tongue means languages. Now in Acts chapter 2 and verse 4 through 11, listen to this. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. So tongues already existed because they spoke with other tongues. This was other than the tongue that they already spoke. Okay? As the Spirit gave them utterance. The Spirit was always in control of this, you see. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews. Notice there's the Jews. Devout men out of every nation under heaven. Notice they were out of every nation under heaven. What's involved in all the different nations under heaven? Different tongues, different languages. Now, when this was noised abroad, talking about that the Holy Ghost had came down and that he had filled these men, that it was Pentecost. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded. Why? Because that every man, what every man? Every man that was in that upper room that the Holy Ghost filled and made able to speak tongues in different languages. Because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Every man heard them. Who's them? All the apostles that were filled with the Holy Ghost and given the gift of tongues. Every man heard them speak in his own language. That's what they was confounded about. How is this man, a Galilean, that speaks this language, speaking in my language? All right? And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And now hear we every man in our own tongue. What own tongue? Some kind of gibberish, blabbity blab? No, their own language, wherein we were born. The language that they were born in, they heard these Galileans speaking in it. How is this happening? And remember, these are Jews that are listening. They're in Jerusalem at Pentecost from every nation. And the Lord has done this miracle, allowed these men to speak in miraculously speak different languages so that they could come down outside and all these people from every nation that spoke from different tongues, different languages are out there and they can tell about Jesus Christ in their language. It says, and how here we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and in Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in the parts of Libya and Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongue the wonderful works of God. So what's the scripture teaching us here about this tongue business? That it started there at Pentecost, right? And it started for a reason, because the Holy Ghost wished it and willed it and wanted it to happen. And he fell upon those men, and he gave them men a gift. They were Galileans, and they spoke their own language, but he made them able to speak in another language, other tongues, which was another language that whenever they went outside, all of the people that come from different parts of the nations that gathered in Jerusalem at Pentecost that day or that week, they were there, and they all spoke different languages from their birth, and they all of a sudden started hearing all these Galileans preaching the wonderful works of God through Jesus Christ the Lord out there and preaching about Jesus Christ out there in the middle of all these Jews, and a miracle had taken place through language, which was called tongues. And these men got to hear the wonderful works of God through the power of the Holy Ghost working in those men that he fell on up in that room at Pentecost when the Holy Ghost filled them and caused them to be able to miraculously speak other languages, tongues, and preach. There it is. That's the truth. That's what the Bible teaches. The Bible defines tongues as a known, understandable language. Now, the charismatics do not do this. They come out with a babbling gibberish in which no one understands at all, and by their own confession, it's a spirit-induced thing that happens. Well, this may be true, and listen, let me just pause right here and say this. If you're listening to this and you've had some kind of experience in the past with this stuff, I don't call you a liar. I ain't saying you didn't have an experience. I ain't saying that it didn't happen. But I'm saying, is the Holy Ghost the one that did it? Because this may be true, but also it's very dangerous. It could be a spirit, but not the spirit. You see, God the Holy Ghost was the one that instituted speaking in tongues, and he did it because there was Jews all over the place in Jerusalem. And they spoke different languages, and he was starting up the gospel of the New Testament and wanted some preaching to go on, and he filled those men with a miracle of different tongues, and they went outside and started preaching. And it was Jews that were there. It was Jews. Now, just be patient and listen through this and see what the Bible teaches. Don't be offended about it, because you might be finding out that the devil's been messing with you. And if he has, that's something that you want to be rid of, because you don't want to be fooled by this. But it's up to you whether you want to listen to what the Bible says or not. But we've already spoke some scripture today. And already talking about this, okay, but the charismatics, now I've not said anything false, I've not said anything bad about the charismatics, I've just said that it's babbling gibberish. Now I know what I'm talking about, because I was in a Pentecost, me and my brother, whenever we were young, we went to a church and I didn't know what a Pentecostal or a Baptist or anything was. I didn't know nothing about nothing. All I knew is me and my brother went to a church when we were young, and we sat in the back pew, and there was an old woman sitting on the pew right in front of us. And when we were sitting there, we We didn't have any idea what was going on. We was back there playing around with one another and everything else while the church was going on. And then all of a sudden, this old woman, she must have been old enough. She wasn't old enough to walk, but she was old enough to stand up on that pew. And she screamed to the top of her lungs. And she went to babbling something we couldn't understand. And me and my brother hit the floor up under the pews, man. That scared the dickens out of me. It scared me. It scared me. And I never went back. And I didn't understand a word what was going on. I didn't have any idea what was going on. All I knew was people wasn't supposed to scream like that, and people wasn't supposed to gibberish like that, and it scared me to death. Now, if it scares children to death that have no idea what's going on, is that of the Holy Ghost? Now, I've been pretty fortunate. I haven't ever had a lot of experience with or desire to be around something that I can't understand. I like understanding what's going on all the time because I know the enemy, and the enemy is always about trying to deceive and always about trying to lead you down the wrong path and try to take you out from and try to steal your love from the Lord Jesus Christ and from the Word of God. So what we're doing here is not trying to offend you. I'm not trying to offend you at all. I'm trying to present the Word of God to you concerning this, and we got a long way to go yet and a lot of scriptures, so be patient about this, okay? And don't be offended right off the bat. If something has happened to you and it's in the past and you know it was real, it probably was real. But who authored it? Let's find out, and then you'll know what direction to go and what the truth is. Because if you're really sincerely in your heart seeking the truth and want to know what the true God the Holy Ghost thinks about these things and what His Word says, I believe you. But you need to, whatever you do, you need to agree with the Scriptures, okay? If that's what they say. And that's why I give you these Scriptures, so you can sit down after it's over with and you can go through these Scriptures and let God the Holy Ghost and yourself figure out if that's what is really being said here, okay? All right, so the Bible defines tongues as known understandable languages. We read that in Acts. We read that just a minute ago. All right, now this is not what the charismatics do. They come out with this babbling gibberish and, which no one understands at all. And by their own confession, it is spirit-induced. They say that there's a spirit behind it that's responsible. And I believe them. Now, this may be true, but also very dangerous. It could be a spirit, but not the spirit. And that's what we're talking about in this study, is the spirit, God the Holy Ghost. Now, this is why this is very important and vital to judge everything by the Word of God. Look at what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 1. Let's see here. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 and through 12. Listen to what the Bible says. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, you know who that was. That was Paul that said that. Okay, so we need to look at what the Bible says. Paul said that he didn't get his information from man. He got it from a revelation of Jesus Christ and what God the Holy Ghost authored him to write down and to preach. And he said, you can trust that. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and these verses here, the Bible says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another Spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into the angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. You see what the Bible's teaching there? He's given us warning after warning after warning after warning, and you know what he said? He said, according to these verses, the devil has another Jesus. According to these verses, the devil has another spirit. According to these verses, the devil has another gospel, he has other ministers, and he has another word of God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. He said, you ain't got to worry about us corrupting the word of God. We speak before God, in the sight of God, and speak what we were told exactly. And we speak it out of sincerity, and we don't corrupt the word of God. But he said, we are not as many that do this. So according to the Bible, in that verse we just read in 2 Corinthians 2:17, there are many people out there that are corrupting the word of God. So that's why it's so very important that we read it with our own eyes and ourselves and God the Holy Ghost discern what the truth is, and God the Holy Ghost teaches us what he's saying, you see. Now, we're talking about God the Holy Ghost, and we're talking about what about speaking in tongues and divine healing. And this is still preparation work as we go into this, but it's pretty good about warning us that there's some fake stuff out there. And another word of God. So what's the purpose of speaking another language? A tongue. What's the purpose of speaking another language? Well, it's to be able to communicate. And there be understanding when you communicate in another language, right? Yes. So how do we learn new languages or new tongues that we were not born with today? How do we learn? If you want to learn a new language, how do we today learn new languages? We go to school for it, right? If you was born and your native tongue is English and you want to speak French, how do we learn that today? Have you seen anybody in your lifetime all of a sudden that you've known for a while that spoke nothing but fluent English all of a sudden come out and start speaking French fluently? Have you ever seen that? What about German? What about Scandinavian? What about anything? Russian? Have you ever seen anybody just all of a sudden be able to speak it without studying it? I haven't. So how do we learn new languages or new tongues that we're not born with today? We go to the school and practice, right? Why do we practice? So we don't look like and sound like babbling idiots and can be understood and there be no confusion, right? We don't want to say we've been studying another language we're going to study another language. We want to be able to speak it fluently so that we can communicate with the people that speak that language and that there be no confusion about what I'm saying. I don't want to be saying something to somebody and him thinking I'm telling him I'm going to knock his brains out or something and then he'd turn around and shoot me or something. I want him to understand what I'm trying to say. So we even have to learn our native language. We even have to learn our native language, our tongue. When you was born, you wasn't born speaking the English language.
When you was born, all you was doing was making noise and getting wiped on both ends and cleaned up on both ends. But what you had to do was you had to practice and you had to learn your language. And depending on where you lived and what tongue you spoke and your mom and daddy spoke was the ones that you started learning. And you started out and you started saying, Mama and Dada. And you had to start learning it. Okay, well, what's the Bible say? What does it say? The only way I know that you can speak a different language today, and if anybody can admit it and will admit it, to speak a different tongue, a different language today, is to go to school and learn it. Some people are better than others. And they even have it on a computer now where you can get on a computer and learn it faster and faster and faster. But you still have to practice and learn and practice and learn and practice and learn. And then you have to put it into works. And I spent 4 years in the military over in Germany by myself. And by the time I left there, I never went to school. But just spending time with those people over there, I was able to communicate with them out of them 4 years and speak a little bit of German. But I wouldn't say I could get into I couldn't stand up and preach to anybody in German and Deutsch because I hadn't had enough practice, and that was 4 years worth, but I could communicate with them. But that's the way we do it today. Now, what is this about this tongues business? Well, we've already seen that the Bible does not mean it's a tongue that's undiscernible, a tongue that's not understandable. The tongues that the Bible's talking about were tongues, languages that people already knew. So, that's where we're going to stop today. You say, me too. But we've so far found out what the Bible thinks about tongues, that there is such thing as tongues, that it was something that was truly in the Scriptures and truly did happen, and God was behind it. God the Holy Ghost was behind it, and He authored it, and that there were men involved, and that there were people that spoke with people that spoke tongues. But we've also found out that these tongues were native languages to other people. And the miracle that went on was that the Holy Ghost gave utterance to these specific men in a specific place at a specific time to speak different languages, tongues, to be able to go outside where all these Jews from all different nations were gathered together in Jerusalem at one time and be able to speak about Jesus Christ in their tongue. That's what we found out today from the Scriptures. Isn't that amazing? It's beautiful. So there is such thing as tongues. We found that out today. And we don't have to be offended by this word tongues, because it's not confusion. It means languages, known languages. Okay? And next, we're going to begin, and we'll start right back where we left off. Remember, we left off right there where we said that the only way that we know how to speak languages today that I know of and you know of, and you might know a miracle where somebody woke or went to bed one night and got up the next day speaking French, but I ain't never seen it happen. Ever since I've been alive and a human and breathing, anybody that I ever heard spoke different languages had to learn it. I know a lot of missionaries, and I've seen a lot of missionaries and the first thing that whenever they get called to go somewhere, first thing that they got to do is get in that school and find out how to learn that language. Because you can't preach Jesus unless you know how to talk to people. And you sure can't preach going over there going blabbity blabbity blue blue boom blab blab blab. So I'm not making fun of anybody. Well, I guess I am. I think it's stupid myself, and I think it's very dangerous because the devil is causing people to go to hell because of that. And it's very dangerous and very serious. But what we're talking about is trying to get the truth down and nail it down in our hearts and in our minds of what God the Holy Ghost says about this matter and where He stands in all this matter. Okay? So we're going to pick it up right there about having to about, so we don't look and sound, that we learn the languages today and we learn them so that we can communicate, okay? Not to cause confusion, but so we have clarity in communication. That's what tongues is language. And that's how we communicate, okay? So we'll pick up again. Let me give you these verses. I remembered this time, didn't I? What about speaking in tongues and divine healers? Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 through 15. Isaiah 8:20. Yep, okay. John chapter 5, verse 39. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Matthew chapter 22, verse 29. Acts chapter 2, verse 4 through 11. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, verse 4, and verses 13 through 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. And that's where we ended. That's all of the scripture that we talked about today. I encourage you to go back through those scriptures and be sure about what we've talked about today and the clarity of what the Word of God teaches. And there's been nothing confusing about what the Word of God has said about anything so far. About anything. Yes, there was tongues. Yes, there was men that spoke tongues. Yes, it was a miracle. Yes, there was Jews present, and it was for the Jews. Remember, the Jews require a sign. And what was the sign? Well, they told you what the sign was. What is this thing that we hear? Aren't these Galileans? Man, they're out here speaking in our languages. That was a sign to them. That was a miracle sign to the Jews that something's going on and God's in control of it. The Jews require a sign. And because there was a sign there, they listened to what those men had to say. And what the men had to say in their languages? Jesus Christ. God's so smart, isn't he? God is so smart. All right, well, there we go. That is our beginning, and we will pick up right there where we left off last time. And I hope that you've been blessed today. And don't you dare be offended. Let's go on through this. And when we get to the end of it, if the scriptures are wrong, then the scriptures are wrong. But they're not going to be. God bless you. Bye-bye.